Would you please turn to Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 26. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 26. This year, we have been pursuing the mind of a servant as taught and portrayed by the Lord Jesus Christ in his time here on the earth. Today, we come to the pinnacle of his service for us as we examine the crucifixion. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what Jesus Christ did for us, especially on the cross. I pray that in this moment you will hide the weakness of your servant and let him be strong in your spirit to proclaim your word and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From the very first of anything, Jesus Christ was and is God. You know John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word being Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. In that state, Jesus Christ shared glory with God the Father, John chapter 17 and verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. It's a very interesting thing about that word was at the end of that verse. In Bible language, it's an infinitive. And it is telling us that the Father and the Son shared the same glory before the world was ever to be. Or we might say it this way, before the creation of the world was ever to be begun. Way back in eternity past, if that's an appropriate way to describe it, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He took on human flesh, not to be worshipped as a God among men, but as the one and only God to serve mankind. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so Jesus Christ, as the eternal Son of God, left his glory to take on himself the mind of a servant. This is where we start at the beginning of the year, if you recall, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, and the mind of the servant that Jesus took on himself led him directly to the cross, as that passage tells us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, as was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He served us on the cross by bearing all our sin in his own human flesh and shedding his blood to redeem us from sin's bondage. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, tell us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. And so I want us to take a few moments today and observe Christ's mind as a servant, as he served us on the cross. Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. And they led him away. When I was with you last time, we talked about the trial he endured. The trial being completed, the conclusion that he should be crucified. The they here are the Roman soldiers who were assigned the duty of crucifying Jesus, and they led him away to the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. The fact that they had to compel another person to carry the cross tells us how weak Jesus' body had become. Now, John chapter 19, verse 17 tells us that he started out bearing his cross. But John is the only one that mentions that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that at some point in the journey from the trial to Golgotha, they had to compel someone, as it says in Luke 23, 26. They laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Usually they only carried the cross beam, not the upright portion, but the cross beam. Those pieces of wood, history tells us, generally weighed between 80 and 110 pounds. You can imagine someone weakened by all the torture that Jesus had been through would be difficult to carry that weight. So Jesus is walking along, Roman soldiers clearing people from the path through the narrow streets of Jerusalem, Simon carrying the cross coming behind, and Jesus laboring to take each step. It was a distance of approximately one-third of a mile from the location of the trial to the top of the hill of Golgotha. Navigating stone streets, some steps along the way, and walking uphill. While the chief priest had convinced some of the Jews to demand Jesus be crucified, there were still a number of folks that were sad to see it happen. Luke 23, verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. And then Jesus said something rather remarkable. Verse 28. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, notice what he says. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. They aren't being crucified. He is. They aren't suffering. He is. And yet he says to them, Don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves. Why does he say that? Because it isn't his own suffering that he's experiencing. It is theirs. For them. It isn't his own crucifixion that he's about to endure. It's theirs. He's enduring for them. It isn't his own suffering and crucifixion that he's about to experience and is going through. It is ours. And we should weep. I assume at some point when you have looked at this event in all seriousness and realized what Jesus Christ is enduring for us, that it has brought tears to our eyes at one point or another, I would hope so. But think of this in light of Jesus' words. Those tears are not for Jesus. Those tears are because we sinned. And in his love, he took all our suffering and our crucifixion on himself. It says in verse 33 of this text, verse 33, that there they crucified him. Crucify is a Latin word. The Latin word for cross is crux, C-R-U-X. You could say that the word crucify is really the word cruxify, or as we would say it, crossify. To crucify or to crossify someone means to attach them either by nails or other means to a cross with the intent of executing them. It was considered by the ancients a mode of capital punishment that was especially ignominious, disgraceful, shameful, dishonorable, contemptible, abhorrent, despicable, degrading, reprehensible, and loathsome, and on purpose, because it was reserved in general for slaves and highway robbers, and those the Romans considered to be the scum of the earth. The act of crucifying meant attaching a person to a cross with very little means of supporting oneself in order to breathe. It is a gruesome form of hanging. And generally, death resulted from asphyxiation. Now, we know that Jesus was nailed to the cross, and the gospel records of the actual event of the crucifixion does not mention the nails. But in John chapter 20 and verses 24 and 25, remember, the disciples had seen Jesus, but when Thomas found out that they were saying they had seen Jesus, Thomas made those famous doubtful words, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So sometime later, Jesus showed himself to the disciples when Thomas was present. And he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." So we know that he was nailed to the cross because of the marks that he preserved in his glorified body. He preserved them. He didn't have to preserve them in his glorified body, but he preserved them as a testimony to what he had done and suffered on our behalf. Nails pierced through his flesh. Between the bones, tearing cartilage and tendons, puncturing blood vessels. We know that none of his bones were broken, as John testified in John 19:36, "A bone of him shall not be broken." That's a testament from Psalm 34 and verse 20. But there he hangs, nailed to the cross, the weight of his entire body pulling on those nails. And with what strength is left in his body, he pushes up with his feet with excruciating pain, pushing against the nails in his feet, reaching for and gasping for breath. And yet, in spite of all of this, his thoughts were not for himself, but for those who crucified him. For you see it in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus continued to show his concern for others rather than for himself as he hung on the cross. Verse 39 in the text, Luke chapter 23, verse 39. One of the two thieves hanging on either side of him mocked Jesus. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. The other thief, however, who started out mocking him, as one of the Gospels records, has had a change of heart. And he confesses here his accountability to God in verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God? Then he confessed his sins and professed that he deserved to be punished. He says, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. So he has declared his accountability to God, and he has confessed his sins and that he deserves to be punished. And then he makes a profession of belief and faith in Jesus Christ. He says at the end of verse 41, But this man has done nothing wrong, nothing amiss. And then he turns to Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What an amazing profession. He believes that Jesus is the Lord and is going to come into his kingdom. He believes that Jesus is on that cross, not for anything that he has done. And he asks for mercy from the Lord. And for this profession, Jesus granted him eternal life. In verse 43, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus showed compassion to Mary and John. Here he is hanging upon the cross in all of the excruciating pain, blood oozing from his body, difficulty in breathing. And yet he looks down in verse 26. John, let's go over to John chapter 19. You have to see this in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 25. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saw them. In the midst of all of the excruciating pain and suffering, blood still caked on his face from the crown of thorns, he was able to see people with compassion. And he saw the anguish on Mary's face. And he saw, even though John was suffering with the thought that his Lord was being crucified, trying to comfort dear Mary. And so in spite of everything that he himself was suffering on the cross, he was concerned for them, and he gave them to each other to comfort them. In verse 26, he says, "Woman, behold thy son." And in verse 27, to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." Jesus even showed his love for his tormentors by not responding to all of their jeers. Matthew chapter 27, we'll need to go there to see this. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 39. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 39. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Have other people's words ever made you angry? Have you ever gotten angry because of something that someone has said? Words of criticism and mockery create emotional friction. Now, most of you have used matches in your life, right? You know what a match is? Match head. As long as it is dry, left alone, perfectly benign, nothing to it. But if you apply friction to that match head, what happens? Bursts into a flame. Should have brought a match along and tried it today. Probably set the church on fire. That wouldn't be good. Our emotions are like match heads. As long as there's no friction, our emotions are perfectly benign. But friction can cause them to ignite. I found this interesting little anecdote. A lady once came to Billy Sunday. Remember who Billy Sunday was? That great evangelist who used to climb up on top of the pulpit and swing from chandeliers. He was quite an animated preacher. But a lady once came to Billy Sunday and attempted to rationalize her angry outburst. She said, "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up and then it's all over." And Mr. Sunday replied, "So does a shotgun, and look at the damage it leaves behind." Consider all of the friction that the words of the mockers caused as they threw their words at Jesus on the cross. And yet, in spite of all of the friction generated by their words, Jesus' anger never ignited. In this moment, he was too full of love for the sinners he was suffering for to be angry with them. For this mission was not about judging. It was about saving. In John chapter 12 and verse 47, Jesus said, "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Now there will be time for judgment. The great white throne judgment. There will be time for judgment. But on the cross, the only thing he was judging was the sin of mankind, and he was loving the people he was suffering for as he bore their sins in his body. Jesus was willing to endure our separation from God the Father. Mark chapter 15 and verse 33. Mark chapter 15 and verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father, with whom he had shared eternal glory, the Father, with whom he had shared the Godhead, the Father with whom he shared being the one and only God, in a moment of time, separated himself from the Son. We don't know how. It's mysterious. But Jesus said it in his words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in that moment, Jesus was not thinking about himself at all, but the separation of mankind from God the Father that he was enduring and absorbing for us. That we could be redeemed and restored to the Father. And in John chapter 19 and verse 30, he declared those amazing words, it is finished. Not I am finished, but it is finished. Redemption is finished. Our redemption is finished. He finished it for us. Walking toward Golgotha, whipped, beaten, bloody, hungry, and weak, Jesus was not concerned for himself, but for those who were weeping. Being nailed to the cross, enduring the pain of the nails, ripping at his flesh, blood oozing from his body as a result of it, Jesus was not concerned for himself. But for those who were crucifying him, asking the Father to forgive them for their ignorance. Hanging on the cross, racked with pain, blood running from his body, struggling to breathe, let alone to speak, Jesus wasn't concerned for himself, but for those whose hearts were pained to see him suffer. For those who in that moment needed mercy for salvation, and for those whose hearts were hardened against him, he loved them all and served them all by staying on the cross until redemption was finished. And so Jesus teaches us this about the mind of a servant. No matter what I am personally suffering, the needs of others matter more. I will not pity myself when others need to be pitied. And I will not seek my own comfort until I have assured that others in need have been comforted first. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is this mind in us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the mind of a servant that was in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the way he served us on the cross. What an amazing thing for everything he endured there. Yet the testimony of the record of your word tells us he was constantly thinking of others. For he wasn't there on the cross for himself. The whole point of the cross was that he was there for us. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, would you put this mind in us that as Christ served us so selflessly, we might serve one another. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.